My name is John, and I haven't had a job in 2,240 days.
My name's Lonnie, and I haven't had a job in 1,849 days.
Welcome to Guys Without Jobs. Lonnie, it is good to see you again, man. How are you doing?
Hey, I'm doing great, John. Glad to be back, man. How are you?
I know it does feel good to be back. Yeah, guys, we've had to miss a few weeks. Just life has been a little bit crazy. Some personal stuff going on. Lonnie had something going on. You want to talk about that?
Yeah. Actually, Candace, we had a death in the family. Candace's dad passed away weekend before last. So, yeah, it's been a pretty tough time. Everybody's pretty sad, of course. And we had the funeral and all that stuff. Candace was off of work last week. So the good side of being, you know, working for yourself, not having a job, is that you have flexibility. And I use that flexibility to not work near as much as normal in the past week or so. And then we even, it was nice. They have a camp up in North Louisiana. And we decided, well, Candace talked her mom into going to the camp and spending, I think we spent 3 nights there, us and the kids and her mom, kind of a nice little getaway retreat. Just like a little while just to kind of unwind.
Yeah.
Because like a funeral and all that stuff, it's like really sad and like super just stressful. A lot of decisions are being made, like big financial decisions, and you know, just everything you're dealing with, you know, as far as the funeral goes and everything. So we thought it'd be good to get away for a few days. And fortunately Candace had her leave at work, so she could do that bereavement leave or whatever for a week. And my shed said that I was allowed to go.
You got the approval from the boss.
Yeah, I threw the lock on the shed and rolled out, and we took a few days off. So
it sounds like a great idea, man. I'm glad you guys did that.
Yeah, you ever go on like a retreat kind of thing, you know? Yeah, sure you have, huh? Like where you just kind of get away and just, no?
I can't remember the last one I went on. That wasn't like a family vacation, I guess, you know.
I remember when I was a senior in high school, we did something like that. We went on it was called a senior retreat, and we went to this big it was like a big cabin, and it was like a couple of the cool teachers went on it with us, and it was fun. Like we, you know, we had bunk beds and all that stuff, and then there would be like games that were structured to help you find yourself, you know what I mean? Like kind of deep stuff, you know? And, it was fun. Like retreats are meant to, refresh yourself and get ready to get ready for the next push. So, but yeah, it's been kind of a sad time, but, we're back. Candace going to work tomorrow, and yeah, here we are.
Yeah, man, I'm really sorry about your guys' loss. How's Candace been handling everything?
Candace is strong, dude. She's tough. I'll say that. She's extremely sentimental and kind-hearted and, you know, soft-hearted and all that. But on the other hand, when the chips are down, she's very tough too, which I found out when she went through the breast cancer and stuff. And she is just like a really strong woman and very sad. And I don't know that everything, having lost my dad about 14 years ago or so, it's not like a 1 week and you're done kind of thing.
Right. Right.
But, she's handling it a lot better than I did. And, her and her dad were really close. So,
but yeah, enough that she loses her dad and then she got to do it in the middle of this pandemic. I mean, were you guys even allowed to have a funeral?
Yeah, we had a funeral, and there weren't really, thank goodness. It was not thank goodness. I mean, but You understand, like, it was last week as opposed to a couple of weeks before.
When they wouldn't let you even do anything.
Or it was so locked down, it would really, you know, but yeah, it was nice. It was a good service and all that. It was just a normal, pretty much a normal funeral. There weren't actually a whole lot of people with masks. There's a lot of, I don't want to go down this road too much, but there was a lot of handshaking and hugging and all that. I think the fact that it was a funeral, kind of like people are like, well, all that has to go out the window. This is a funeral. You know what I mean? Like, we have to show we care, and they hug and all that stuff. And it's like, I mean, could there be some cases come from that? Sure, I guess there could be. But, yeah, we'll see. Pretty much standard funeral for the most part.
Yeah, we won't go too deep into the C word talk.
No, I'd rather not. But yeah, how's your last week been? I haven't really talked to you that much.
I've been busy, man. I've been very, very busy. I've been going to my storage unit just about every damn day, either meeting somebody or pulling stuff out to sell or whatever, and just trying to get through that. And I swear, I don't even feel like I've put any kind of dent in it. It's still just barely walkable.
That's, you know, you're acting like that's a bad thing, but dude, I know. I keep selling all this stuff and like, it's still there. Look, that is what we do, John. We buy stuff and we sell stuff.
I know.
And think about if you didn't have anything.
Right.
That, I mean, you're like in a great spot. Like, I know you want, are you at least getting down to the point where you'll be able to combine at some point or anything
nowhere
like that?
Nowhere close. I'm nowhere close.
Dang.
Yeah.
Can you talk numbers at all? Or like, have you, you
I'm paid. In the profit. I'm in the profit now. Yeah. So okay. Like my investment is already up over. So the initial cash investment was 4,000. Mm-hmm. But everything else I've invested to, I'm up over 5,000 now, but I am in the profit. I've sold through like all the jewelry and all the, like the wholesale loss that I'd kind of made up, like the small stuff. And I really don't have that much more small stuff, at least nothing I've found yet. I mean, there might be more. But yeah, there for a while, I was doing it Monday, Wednesday, Friday, putting, you know, like 10, 15 lots up on the website for people to buy.
And then they were.
And I've had a lot of positive feedback from that too. Yeah, they're going like super quick and the people are happy with what they're getting and making money. So I'm happy.
That's good, dude. I love when, like most of the stuff we sell, like there's room for multiple levels of people to make money. And usually that's what's going on.
For sure.
That's awesome, man. So when is your antique booth place going to be open again? Or is it open already?
No. Well, they came out with like a mid-May date. Then they pushed that to June 1st. Now they've pushed that to June 12th. Mm. So I don't know. Who knows?
But soon-ish, I'm not, right?
Yeah, ish. We'll see. I'm not making a lot of plans because I had started making plans, you know, getting back in there and doing a thing. And like, then they just pushed it back again. It's like, well, you guys get your stuff together and then I'll.
But a lot of the stuff you have in these storage units you bought is prime stuff for an antique booth, right?
Absolutely. Yep.
Do you think there's any chance, since you have the bulk, that once things get back up and running, that you might even have to expand to a second antique booth for a little while?
I think I definitely will expand to a second antique booth.
Okay.
Immediately is my plan, because I could fill another antique booth with inventory for months on end. I mean, there's so much stuff, and I think I'm gonna have to price this stuff pretty aggressive too.
How big is your antique booth you have now?
Oh God, that's a good question. I want to say it's 10 by 12.
10 by 12. And how much do you pay a month, if you don't mind?
175.
Okay.
Plus 7%.
Okay. So.
Or no, wait, is it 125? It's been so long that I don't even remember.
Oh, you haven't been paying rent lately either.
No, I haven't paid rent since like February. I want to say it's 125. Pretty low.
That's what it's I used to pay. Much. It was like a dollar a foot.
Yeah, I think it's 125, and then I pay 7% commission.
Okay, so that would even make sense. Like, even if you had to get two, like a couple hundred, like, because if you were able to move enough of that stuff out of your storage to drop one of those storage units off and drop some of that rent and move that over to retail rent where stuff is actually going to potentially move,
Right.
You know, that would, and I think, it will, because I mean, it was doing well before.
Yeah, and there's a lot of like good furniture in there that I think is prime for the booth. So if they've got one that's a little bit bigger, I'm fine with paying extra rent for, you know, to make some space for some furniture, because 10 by 12 I have now, you just can't fit that much furniture in there.
Right. Yeah. That was when I did antique booth before. That's what I found. Furniture takes up the most space. However, if it's the right furniture, it also moves super fast.
Yeah.
Like super, like you won't believe it'll move. Like it won't make it a week.
Like I think a lot of people go furniture shopping at antique booths because they know they're going to find something unique. They're not going to pay. Well, you are going to pay up for it compared to thrift stores and garage sales, but go walk into a furniture store. I went into Whitney and I were furniture shopping a few years ago, and like my eyes popped out of my head. Like there's no way in hell I'm paying $3,000 for this.
Or even compared to like going to Walmart and looking at some
like
stuff you have to put together.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like
has no character. Yeah.
Right. No character, no history, no, it's not solid, and you have to put it together.
Right.
Like,
oh man, that's so true.
Like this bench. Like this bench I have right here. I love it, but it took me like 5-6 hours to put together.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's exciting though, man. I'm happy for you. I'm glad that buy came at just the right time for you.
Man, it really did. It seriously came at the right time. And garage sales are starting to kick up a little bit now too. So I'm going to be trying to balance those two.
Yeah. I haven't really, because of what's been going on here, I haven't really paid attention. But this coming weekend, I'll probably take a look, and if there are some garage sales, I'll try and go.
I went to my very first garage sale last weekend. I was actually on my way to the storage unit to meet somebody to sell some stuff, and I saw an ad for one, and it was like right on the way. I'm like, I've got to go to this. So I brought my GoPro and had my mask and everything, and it was actually a pretty decent sale. I had some good stuff. I ended up buying a Sony laptop. It just felt good to be at a garage sale again, to be honest, man.
You bought a Sony laptop?
Yeah, he was selling it for, it said parts, but then he said like, yeah, it works fine. It just doesn't have the battery. But he's like, if you plug it in, like it works great. I'm like, okay, yeah, I'll give you $5.
Hmm. And it was a fairly modern, like within
the last 10 years, probably.
Oh, 10 years.
Yeah.
Okay.
It might be worth $30 or $40. I'm sure it's not super valuable. Yeah.
Well, that's cool. It probably felt good just to get back out to a garage sale at least.
Yeah, definitely. What are you drinking tonight?
Well, I'm drinking these. I've tried a lot of these seltzer drinks. But believe it or not, these Bud Light seltzers I've found are really, really good. I like
them. Those your favorite?
I hesitate to say that. Yeah, I think they are. I think they are. Yeah, this is a black cherry. And I know I sound like a girl or what. You go ahead and make fun of me in the comments. I really don't care. Like on the list of like, oh, that's a girly drink. You know, I'll drink that. I'll drink some whiskey. I don't care. I'll drink a beer, you know, whatever. But right now, this is a nice light. Boy, I look like I'm doing like a
sponsored by Bud Light Seltzer.
I wish. But yeah, it's good. You like the seltzers, don't you?
I've never drank a seltzer.
Really?
Not once.
Whitney likes them because
yeah, she's more of a wine drinker, but she'll drink the seltzers.
No, she brought some
to Tennessee. Yeah, that sounds about right.
The not the White Claw. That's the first
I think I bought her those in the gas station on the way because they didn't have wine.
Oh, okay. Well, that's what started me on seltzer right there.
Wow.
When I had Whitney's White Claw, she's like, I'm like, hey, this is pretty good. I think I ended up drinking like 4 or 5 of those in that case.
I think we all drank a lot of things on that trip.
Yes, we did. I'm looking forward. Speaking of that trip, we've kind of been talking about it. I'm looking forward. It looks like the 127 sale is on.
Yeah, they're still doing it. There's actually a Facebook group for it. If you guys don't know what we're talking about, there is a world's longest garage sale. It's along Route 127. It actually goes straight through Cincinnati. I've done it now for, I feel like, maybe 10 years. And it starts up in Michigan and goes all the way down to Alabama. I think it's like 700 miles. And people just set up along the street. They set up, you know, at the houses, and you'll see like big empty fields that they'll rent and just set up and sell stuff. And in the Facebook group, the guy that runs it, he says it's still on, you know, just follow proper safety protocols and distancing and blah, 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 yada, 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 and all that stuff.
Honestly, the people, man, I don't want to insult anybody, but the people that I've seen both running those sales along that route and attending those sales, I don't think they give two you know what's about about any of that stuff. They just they just want to buy and sell.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's a website for it though. 127yardsale.com is the website for that.
And if I remember, I will put a link to that in the description of this podcast.
Yeah. And they if you go to the website, they actually have a photo of the exact kind of place you should not stop. It's a big field with a bunch with a bunch of vendors in it. And I shouldn't say that. There were some with some decent stuff.
Most are not.
No. I like going to the houses and like
You're better off hitting the side streets. I've been doing this so long now. Like it's like there's a stretch from like Florence, Kentucky, which is just over the Ohio River. Mm-hmm. And it goes on and on and on and on and on for hundreds of miles. And like I've covered about a 75 mile stretch and I can drive it now and just point of like, yes, no, of like what to stop at and what not, what to just, you know, what to drive by. Like it's pretty fun. And I feel like we kind of had a pretty good idea. So you guys might've seen the videos, but being in the car with me, Lonnie and Kevin, and then Candace and Whitney too, like, and then sometimes we're in different cars. So whoever's running the lead has to one, spot the sale, and two, make a quick snap decision of whether or not it's worth stopping at.
And then catch a bunch of shit if it ain't, if it sucks. If it sucks, you catch all the shit. Yep.
Who was running point at some point last year? It was it you or Kevin?
I don't know.
We
all did at some point.
Well, yeah, I remember somebody started and I stepped in and I'm like, I'm taking over the reins in this thing. You guys can't find a good sale to go to. Oh God. It's fun. Like you want to hit the side streets, but then sometimes you just don't know how long it takes to get to a sale. Like you'll see a sign and you'll turn and it'll say like 15 miles this way.
Right. And if there's like a little trailer selling funnel cakes, you probably want to keep going.
Yes. If there's food vendors, that's usually a sign that you're not going to get good deals.
Right.
That is the first weekend of August. So hoping we get to go to that. We're going to plan on it anyways.
Trying to. Definitely want to.
Speaking of plans, the reseller rally is scheduled for Saturday, September 26th. And it is being held at BB Riverboats. That is in Newport, Kentucky, just across the river of Cincinnati. You can actually see Cincinnati from the riverboat. I mean, it's like right there. And that company this past week announced that they have reopened for business. They are doing riverboat tours and the whole thing. So it's looking good for us. We've got 200 people scheduled. We got the ticket sold. So I think we're just waiting on the go ahead from the Kentucky governor that, you know, people, crowds of that size are allowed to gather.
Yeah, we've got a lot of time. So time is on our side here, I think.
That's right.
Unless there's some kind of like a resurgence of the C word, but yeah. You know,
right.
And who knows? Who knows if that'll happen? I haven't heard of a whole lot of cases yet, but I don't know even where to look. I'm kind of in a little bubble as far as that stuff is concerned. I wouldn't know actually the whole world.
Yeah. I've stopped looking at the news.
Yeah. It's all bad. Like it's when the news is always bad, I don't want to look at it anymore.
Right.
Yeah, I'm looking at, I just opened up CNN.com and death toll approaches 100,000 and they have a bunch of like, look like cardboard caskets or something. No thanks. Going to turn that off now. You can go sell that somewhere else. I don't want to see it. But yeah, hopefully September will be good. Actually, hopefully August will be good.
Yep.
I'm ready to get out there, man.
Yeah, I am too. Been cooped up too long.
Candace and I are actually making some plans. Planning on getting a different vehicle other than the van or the car. Going to get another vehicle and probably get an RV of some sort.
Awesome. That's exciting.
Yeah. So we can actually travel and, you know, with the kids too, of course, mm-hmm. or with the kid, because we have one that's about to go to college.
Right.
And, you know, go, you know, park, camp, source, you know, do a lot more traveling, do a lot more sourcing and, you know, living the lifestyle a little bit more.
That sounds awesome, man. What kind of RV are you looking at?
Probably something smallish. Mm-hmm. Because if we can, we'd like to get like maybe a little larger SUV, mm-hmm. and pull it with that rather than have to get a truck.
Because I think that's the way to go. Yeah.
Trucks are expensive, as you know what, man. They're like crazy high. If you go cheap on a truck, it's like $35,000.
Right.
You know? But yeah, and then of course you still have to pay for the RV. But I think it'll be fun, and I think it could lend itself well to, well, both having fun and family time and all that stuff, and I think it also could also lend itself well to YouTube being something that would go well hand in hand with YouTube.
So, absolutely. Yeah.
And I'm not talking about a full-time, you know, out on the road kind of life. I'm talking about like, you know, go out for 3 or 4 days.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
And then, you know, come home. But yeah, we've been looking at that kind of stuff for about a month now. We'll probably be pulling the trigger here pretty soon, next month or two, I would say.
That'll be fun.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. As far as like for, I already have a hotel room booked for the reseller rally, so we wouldn't mm-hmm. get there, but and probably not 127 sale either, but if we go do anything else, it'd probably be with RV,
yeah,
kind of thing, but we'll see. We're the right age.
The right age. You're the RV demographic.
Close. We're almost there, so we can get ourselves a little starter kit anyway.
Dip your toes in the water. Yeah. There are there's a lot of RV YouTube channels that are mm-hmm. just huge, because I think, and like tiny house YouTube channels, like Whitney watches a bunch of that stuff because her and her sister have been looking at RVs, and it's just, I'd love like finding a new niche on YouTube and just seeing like how big of a culture there is, like, it's, you know, similar to reselling, like every single niche, it doesn't matter what it is, name anything, and there is a YouTube community for that niche.
You know what is a really good YouTube niche? Just, they have the guys that, like, for every RV model, you're kind of, oh, that's kind of interesting. Well, mm-hmm. Let me check that out. There's a guy somewhere that will go to an RV lot, and it's like a symbiotic relationship between the RV seller and mm-hmm. this YouTube guy.
Yeah.
And he'll just go in and, okay, well, look, it has this and this and this, yep. and here's a slide, and here's this and that. And he'll show everything, walk through it, and then the next day he'll do another one. And another yeah. one, and another, and people just sop it up. They eat yep. it up because they get like a really good view of yeah. the RV. And then
you don't have to go to the place and listen to the sales pitch and all that. You're seeing it in person. Yeah, almost in person.
It's yeah. crazy, though, the demand there is for that kind of content. Mm-hmm. I guess because, you know, it's fairly significant financial kind of commitment people are making to that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But it's fun too. It's fun.
Yeah, for sure.
So, but yeah, man, these people are making these YouTube videos just by going to RV lots.
Awesome.
And you know, the salesmen are like, yeah, here, have the free yeah, run of the place.
For
you know?
Sure.
Mention our name.
Yeah. Contact Bill down at RV Park 7.
Yeah. So that would actually be a really fun Maybe I should do something like that. I could do it.
Just make a whole RV channel.
Yeah, that would be fun.
Hey guys, this is Lonnie. We're in the RV today.
But yeah, they also have on this Great American, I think it's Great American Country Channel. Is that what it's called?
Sounds about right. It's
called GAC.
Mm-hmm, yeah,
that's where we used to watch Flea Market Flips. I think it's
yeah, and I've seen that show.
The host of that show has made the big time now.
Really?
Yeah, Lara Spencer, I think her name is.
What's she doing?
She's a host on Good Morning America now, I think.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so she's like the pinnacle of that field now. And wow. She also still does her Flea Market Flip, too.
Nice.
Which is a really good show. But, yeah, they have a thing on there where they have it's a basic cookie-cutter reality show where they bring a couple in, they go out, and they look at three different RVs, and then they pick an RV at the end. Just like they do, like, with
this
tiny
is on
houses.
GAC?
Yeah.
And House Hunters. Yeah, House Hunters is the big show.
All these shows are just like, they get three choices. It's always three.
What's the name of it? I got to see this. I got to watch it because it sounds pretty entertaining to me. And my sister-in-law is actively in the market for an RV, so I'm going to have to send it her way.
I think it's called... Oh, man. I'm actually not sure. It's an RV show on
GAC. I'll figure it out.
On GAC.
There can only be so many RV shows on GAC.
It might be Going RV, maybe.
Going RV. Know.
I think they have a couple of RV shows, though. But, yeah. We're excited, though. We're looking at we used to have a pop-up camper.
Mm-hmm.
And so we know a little bit. Like, that's like the – like we bought a used pop-up camper for like,
that's like entry level kind of, yeah. You just get your feet wet. Yeah.
We had a Ford Explorer at the time and we bought like a $1,500 15-year-old pop-up camper. And now we know we don't want a pop-up camper.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like
a little bit more room.
It's too much. Well, no, it wasn't the room. It was the amount of work and effort just to mm-hmm. set everything up. And so we have some idea what that life is like, but, yeah, we're looking forward to it. It's going to be – Candace loves to travel.
Yeah.
So I want to make her happy and make me happy too.
I think you like to travel. I mean
– I do.
And I know you like to – I don't know if you like to drive, but I know you could knock out some miles in a short amount of time.
I enjoy a good road trip.
Driving solo. I do too. I can only drive for so long though before I'm like, somebody's got to drive for a little bit. Usually when Whitney and I take long trips, I'll drive like 75% of it. She'll drive 25%.
I don't like having other people drive me.
No.
I feel very weird when I'm not driving. Like when Candace and I go somewhere, I drive every time. Yeah. It doesn't matter if it's a long trip or not. And she likes it that way too. So. But yeah, we're excited about that. We've been every now and then she'll send me a video to one, or I'll send her a video to one that we, you know, find that we're
nice
considering. So this could go on for a few months before we actually.
Hey man, that's the way to do it. It's a big investment. Do your homework. Yeah. Keep us updated.
Oh, I will. I will. Well, you know, just watch me on YouTube and you'll see.
We got a question from a listener.
Okay.
This is from Steven.
Hey guys, Steven Heisey from Cleveland, Ohio, and I'm always looking to try to get better at my business and just want to pick your brain for a moment. Do you list an item and just let it go and never have to touch it again? Do you end them after 30 days? Do you relist them? Do you list similar? Like, what is your strategy to keep things fresh and moving? I love to hear what you do. Thanks for all you do. Appreciate the content, the videos, and the podcast.
Okay, so Steven, thank you for the question.
Thank you.
It used to be on eBay that when you listed a buy it now item, you could pick the length that you wanted it to run. I think they had a 5-day option, a 3-day, a 7-day, a 10-day, and a 30-day, I think were all the choices. Maybe they had 24 hours at some point. But in the last like 6 months or so, they got rid of all those. except for 30-day renewed listings. So now when you list an item, the only choice is 30 days and it automatically renews. So that answers the one question. And I think I handle my items a little more differently than Lonnie. Not much. I seem to have a quick trigger with a lot of things, and I don't know if it's, I don't know, sometimes it's to my own detriment, but I like to flip things quick. So usually like the first month, I like to just leave them alone. A lot of times I won't even put best offer on there. I'll just put it up there because if somebody wants it and they see it, you know, hopefully they'll pay up for it. Then maybe the second month I might add best offer. Third month I might come down a little bit. And then I also do something twice a year where I walk through each of my bins that have all my items and I do a manual inventory and I just pull each item out, look up, you know, make sure first it's listed because a lot of times I'll find things that weren't even listed and then I'll see how long I've had it, how many watchers and views it has and what the current price of it is. So if I've already dropped it a bunch and it ain't selling, I'll either drop it a whole lot more and add best offers, or if it's already so low, sometimes I'll just pull it, take it to Goodwill.
Let me ask you something about this inventory process real quick while you're on that part. So you mentioned you go through the bins and you make sure everything's listed, right?
Yeah.
Well, what about the occasion? Like, do you also do it the other way? Like, how do you make sure that you don't have something listed that you don't have? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Or do you?
No. Yeah, I know what you're saying. I do. It does happen occasionally that I'll sell something and I can't, like, I forgot to label the bins. So like each time I list an item, I put where it is. And then sometimes it's tricky if I forget to put where it is and it's hard to find, but I don't think I do have a process to,
cause you would need,
I guess both, I would have to look through all my active listings and then just touch each item. Yeah.
Or maybe I almost wonder if, cause I don't have a good process for this myself, but with the correct method, would the correct methodology be here? I know we're getting off track. Make a printout of all listings by order by location or something, right? And then make a printout of that. And then I know this sounds already too much.
We're losing people.
I know. But then as you pull stuff from the bin, check it off.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right. And then at the end, you go to the list and like anything without a check, obviously it's not there.
Right.
Right. If that would happen, like, or maybe there would be some electronic way to do that or something. It'd be cool if eBay had an inventory mode, wouldn't it?
Yeah. Well, the way I do it, and it's not completely foolproof, but I'll go to my active listings and my bins are alphanumeric and I put the bin in the title.
I've seen that.
So I go to my active listings and I'll type in A1 and that auto generates all the items that are in A1 or should be in A1. So that speeds it up a little bit. But again, that's not a foolproof way to do it. Cause if I forgot to put something in A1 or if something's listed, you know, that didn't have that designation.
Well, no. Okay. So yeah, the way you do it then, if you search by A1, then, and you have that bin out, then it should be pretty quick to see like, oh, well, there's a listing there and it's not in here, or there's a thing in here that's not there.
Right.
So, okay. Yeah. That's good enough. Okay. I'll say that's good enough. I'm sorry. Keep going because you were.
Oh, I think that pretty much wraps it up. So like,
after that, because his question was like, cause I think you had gotten to the point where you were putting best offer on it.
Yeah. Yeah. So like first month, I usually like to leave it alone. Second month I'll add best offer. Third month I'll try to start dropping the price. And I did something that Lonnie did. Mm-hmm. It was before all this crap started happening, where I ran a sale and like, it was a tiered sale, basically exactly what Lonnie did. And you can go into this too, man, just talking about how like discounting, you know, older items more and just constantly running a sale on that stuff.
Yeah. So if you go to your active listings and you can actually search, you can search by time on site. You can, and then you can like, I don't know. You could pick, like, I came up with some arbitrary thing, like 30 to 60 days. I don't remember what it was. 10% off. 60 to 90 days, 20% off. 90 to 120 days, 30%. Whatever it is you want to do. But you can run a tiered sale, one sale with multiple tiers, and then you just base it on how long it's been on the site. And if you're good enough to keep up with something like that, I think it can help. Man, I wish, you know what, John, if I can find that video I did about the tiered sale, which I haven't done since, because everything of mine's selling anyway right now. Right. Like the shelves are getting bare. But I'll try and send you a link to that tiered sale thing.
Okay.
Put down below, wherever you're watching/listening to this. Because you know what? It did work really well. It cleared out a bunch of inventory, especially stale inventory. And I think like my highest tier I ran was like 40% off. And it was stuff, I think it was stuff that I had like, I don't remember, 120 days plus. Mm-hmm. And at that point, like when I ran that sale, we had just come through fourth quarter. And at the back end of fourth quarter, and if it hadn't sold by then, that's mm-hmm. the time to get rid of it. That's the yep. time to take a hard look.
Yeah.
And to go ahead and move on, you know?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, it makes sense to not always run a sale in Q4 just because a lot of things are going to sell no matter what, just to let them run. But yeah, if they've had their chance then, like I had some Halloween stuff and it went through like the end of November and then like end of January. I'm like, all right, y'all had your chance. You didn't sell. So I marked them down.
Right. But to be honest, though, apart from when I was doing that sale thing, I'm a listed and forget it kind of guy. And unlike John, because John likes the best offers, I typically don't do best offers unless eBay does it for me. And it seems like eBay turns best offer on for me sometimes, but I'm not a big fan of the best offer unless it's a higher end thing, that I might be flex, or if it's something big or something like that, that I would be more motivated to get rid of. I'm a listed and forget it kind of guy. So
Steven, thank you again for the question. And guys, we would love to hear any questions from you. Go ahead and send them to twoguyswithoutjobs.com. When you go to the website, just click on the little message icon and it will let you send us a voice question.
Yeah. And you have to, yeah, it'll have to be a voice. And now they can, like, if they're nervous recording the voice question or whatever, they'll have an opportunity to review it or to scrap it or redo it or whatever. Yeah. Right?
And if you want to, you know, use a fun accent while you do it, that'd be cool.
Right. What would be a fun accent?
Oh, God.
Like a Cincinnati accent?
Do Cincinnatians have an accent? Yeah, I don't know.
No, you don't. You have no accent.
I'm sure other people would claim that we do. Like, you know what I mean? I'm sure I've got something in my voice that somebody would.
Have you ever been somewhere else and you weren't wearing your hat and somebody said, "You're from Cincinnati, aren't you?"
Nope. Not even Ohio, really. I don't even know if Ohioans.
That's an everyman kind of place, huh?
Everyman, yeah. Welcome to Ohio. We are everyman's state.
I think people could pick me. Well, maybe not me especially, but like people from Louisiana, Tennessee, Northeast, but not.
There's a lot of states that have, you know, whether they're stereotypes or they're accurate, like, you know, Minnesota. Like once you get up north around Canada, there's definitely an accent there.
Yeah. Well, I haven't talked about my knife sales yet today.
Not yet today.
No. So, I think it was about a week and a half ago, I got an order of 720 knives in, and that actually was about 350 pounds.
Wow.
And they sent it this time. John, they sent it on an 18-wheeler.
No kidding.
Yeah, like on a pallet. It didn't take up a whole lot of room on a pallet.
But I call it LTL.
Right, less than what? Yeah,
truckload.
Is that
less than truckload? Yeah.
Is that what it means? Okay. So, well, it was less than a pallet, actually.
Yeah.
But Anyway, this guy calls me. He says, "Hey, I got a bunch of boxes for you." I'm like, "Huh?" Because they didn't even tell me it was coming on a truck.
Oh, my God.
Because up until then, they had been sending it UPS.
Mm-hmm.
So I ended up meeting the guy at neighborhood Walmart, and he handed me the cases awesome. Down. And, dude, I sold all 720 knives within, I don't know, like 5 days.
That's incredible. Like
that, 4 or 5 days. Yeah.
Where do they ship from?
Wait, where do they ship to me from?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to say.
Okay, that's fine. the only reason I ask is I used to work in logistics for a little bit. And when I would get a client, you know, that had an LTL load like you're talking about, there's a website where truckers will post like where they are and where they're going and if they have space in their truck.
Oh.
And then you just call and call and call and be like, "Yep, you got room for this or that, you know, how much would you charge?" And you want to find somebody that's going home that's like on the way, because they'll do it for cheap.
Yeah, because they got to go anyway, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so if they can pick up, you know, a couple $100 or $100, whatever.
But yeah, the knife sales have been going really well. I've sold almost 1,600 now.
That's incredible.
Almost 1,600. It's been crazy. Like, obviously, it's from the YouTube channel for the most part, and yeah, the support has been amazing. I hope everybody's liking them.
I like mine. I use mine all the time.
Shout out to Steve and Steph, because that's where I got my first one. and they put their blessing on me, me putting my logo on one and selling it. So
yeah, that's great, man.
But I've got another big order coming in, hopefully tomorrow, I think. So I should be restocked, because
you got to go to Walmart, meet Fred.
I don't even know the guy's name. It looked like if I was under surveillance and you were like looking at me through some binoculars, what's he doing now?
Yeah.
You're like, you'd see me pull up behind a Walmart, next to a loading dock behind a Walmart.
God. Yeah, that didn't look good at all.
And getting boxes from a guy out the back of an 18-wheeler. It looks shady. Promise they're paid for. I had to sign for them and everything.
Oh, that's funny. Some inventory just falling right off the back of the truck.
Yeah. Where'd you get that? Off the back of a truck? Yeah. Pretty much. Where it came from. It's where everything comes from now. But yeah, it's been a fun, it's been a very fun thing to do though. Like, just logistically speaking, it's been challenging. You have to think ahead a lot whenever you're dealing with those kind of numbers, because you have to have I have to have all the stickers, which have to come from the printer, which that takes some amount of lead time. I have to have the knives. You've dealt with the website, Big Cartel. You have to have that in place. You have to have your payment methods in place, you know, PayPal, and then also Stripe to accept credit card. You have to have like all your packing materials. You have to have all your and everything becomes exposed whenever you are doing it in big numbers.
Right.
You know, if you're doing one or two of something, you can kind of piece it together. But if you're doing like 700 of something, you got to have a lot of stuff on hand.
Oh, yeah.
So
you gotta have a great process too, which I think you do.
I actually ordered a bunch of poly mailers 2 weeks ago, 1,000.
Oh my God.
Okay. And they haven't shipped. They haven't messaged me anything. And I'll say their name, Three Rivers Packaging or Boxing or something. I can't remember. It's a big seller on eBay.
Mm-hmm. And do you not have any kind of local shipping supply company?
I do, but they're not going to be as cheap as these guys.
Their prices are too high.
Yeah.
I'm lucky. I've got a local place that is really competitive with a lot of the pricing of stuff.
Three Rivers RB. They have like 1.3 million feedback. And I've ordered from them before. They've been great. But this time I ordered like 2 weeks ago. They haven't shipped or said anything.
Jeez.
And I said, "Hey, when is this coming in? Because I kind of need this, because I have these other knives coming in." And they said, "Oh, well, they're on back order."
Now they tell you.
And they're going to ship in June. I'm like, what? Oh my God. I'm like, this is no good. They say, and then they said, but we have pink ones in stock that cost more, but we'll sell them to you at this exact same price. Like, they're doing me a favor by shipping me a bunch of pink ones.
Gosh.
So I'm like, nah, forget it. Just cancel it. If they'll even, that's the problem with eBay, man, is like, whenever something goes wrong, you're not certain that you're going to have communication.
Mm-hmm.
So, but yeah, Three Rivers Boxing, I think it's called, or 3RB is the name of it. And it's a shame because I've used them before, but got to find somebody else now.
Yeah, when are your new knives coming in?
Hopefully tomorrow, but I don't know.
Oh, man. Whenever you better get you some bubble mailers.
Well, if I have to, I'll do what I did last time. I'll go to Sam's Club.
Sam's Club?
Yeah, and I'll pay too much, and I'll get them.
That's your local shipping supplier?
No, there's a place in Baton Rouge.
But Sam's Club's cheaper?
They're pretty cheap. They're pretty cheap.
More or less than 50 cents a bubble mailer?
Less. Oh, way less. Okay.
It's just surprising because, like, most retailers I see, they're like $1 or $2.
They're 20 cents a piece.
Really?
Yep.
Okay, that's pretty good.
Sam's is not in a pinch. Like, it's not the best. You'd rather order online any of this stuff. But Sam's is not bad when it comes to a lot of stuff like that when you buy it in bulk. So, but yeah. Like, I buy bubble wrap there sometimes. It's not horrible.
I need to get Sam's Club membership. I have a Costco one, but I think Sam sells just like a much wider variety of things, it seems like. I don't know. Like, I'm constantly hearing about, like, oh, Sam sells this, Sam sells that. I'm like, I've never seen this stuff at Costco.
Well, my bench came from Sam's.
Yeah.
My new one.
And you got me a bench too. Yeah.
Like that one, right?
Yeah. I got the exact same one. I've been making some upgrades at the warehouse. I painted the nasty floor. I was tired of looking at it. I actually upgraded to a MacBook Pro, which I'm using right now, and I love it.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I got a real desk. I've been using a folding table for a desk for the longest time, so now I've got an actual desk at the warehouse, and yeah, man, making some improvements.
Isn't it amazing how much better it feels when you use that stuff?
Yeah, like, it's a big mood booster, and I just feel like I'm more productive.
Yep.
You know, when everything's cleaned up and kind of improved a little bit. And sometimes you just gotta, you know, spice up your workspace.
Yeah, I know. And it totally makes a difference. Like, I know whenever I bought this workbench here, it seemed like too much money at the time, just like probably your MacBook Pro did.
Yeah.
And it might be, who knows, who cares, but like, you gotta make it a nice work environment and have good tools. Like, YouTube's a big part of what you do.
Yeah. I had been using a MacBook Air with a little 13-inch screen for 5 years, and it was time to upgrade.
Yeah. I upgraded to an iMac earlier this year, so I understand. I'm totally understand. I had the MacBook Air. Mm-hmm. Although I will say, if anybody asks me, like, hey, I've got $1,000 and what laptop would you recommend? I'm going to do a little YouTube, some eBay, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I need to travel around a little bit. I'd probably say MacBook Air.
100%. Yeah.
You know,
I've had a variety of, you know, PC window laptops, and the Mac is 1,000 times better in my opinion.
Yep. Absolutely. There we go. That'll spice up the comments a little bit
right for us. I can just see somebody just like angrily typing on their keyboard right now.
You do pay a Mac tax. There's no doubt yes, about it.
For sure. Yep. You got to pay up. That's about all I got, man. What else you got?
That's it, dude. I'm just glad to be back. This is actually this podcast right here, because we got back just a couple hours ago. This podcast right here is kind of starting my return to a normal kind of work schedule here on a short holiday week. It's Memorial Day.
Yeah.
But yeah, looking forward to get back into it. Looking forward to things returning to normal and being able to maybe go to some garage sales.
That'd be nice. I'm planning on it this week. We'll see how it goes.
That's the fun part, right? Like, all we've been able to do is list and ship and make videos about listing and shipping.
And yeah, it gets a little boring.
It does. For us, like, as bad as it's been for the viewers, it's been just as bad for us. I promise you. We'd much rather be out in the field, having those interactions, making those buys, having garage sales are still the – like, basically, that's the only fun part of what I do anymore.
I still have fun with everything. Like, I enjoy packing, personally. I'm kind of weird like that. I like to pack.
That is weird, because I hate it.
Would you rather list than pack?
I think so.
I'd rather pack. I don't know why. I just enjoy it. I think it's because I'm standing up. Because I sit when I list, and I'm just kind of like, all right, here we go. You know, I do like to turn on YouTube or, you know, something and watch while I'm listing, but man, it is boring.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I don't hate any part of it, because compared to working somewhere, it's all better than that. So I hate to complain, but I don't love the order fulfillment anymore. I used to like it because it meant I sold some stuff, you know, but now... Right. Now I'm like spoiled, I guess, or something. I don't know. I don't mind the listing. I've come to appreciate more than the shipping now, almost.
So, hey, I need to find a new appreciation for the listing.
What is that photo of behind you there? That black and white group right photo. Here? Yeah, what is that again? I forgot.
That is an old Cincinnati Red Legs team.
Oh, Red Legs.
Yep. When they're called the Red Legs, I'm not 100% sure of, or maybe they were the Red Stockings then. Not totally sure on the year. I think it's right around like 1920 or so. It's pretty old. Not an original photo, obviously.
Okay, that's what I was going to ask. No, so it's like not. It's just like a reprint thing or something.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. It looks cool.
Yeah, I like it.
Pretty sweet. But yeah, here's cheers to getting back to normal. I feel things
not
much are
left, but I'll cheers you.
Things are starting to get back to normal though, man. I feel it. The tides have turned. People are basically, actually, I don't think there's a choice anymore. People are basically saying, we ain't going to take it anymore.
Things have got to get back to normal.
They do. So, but yeah, thank y'all very much for listening/watching, and we'll see y'all again when we see you.
That sounds great. Bye guys.
Bye y'all.